There goes the three quarters. My dinner time was at 2. He does it on purpose. Makes a point of it. It's just like him.
Newman Noggs grumbles in his little den of an office as he awaits the return of Ralph Nickleby.
I don't believe he's ever had an appetite. Except for pounds, shillings and pence. And with them he's as greedy as a wolf. Well, I won't wait any longer.
Newman Noggs flattens his old hat upon his head, draws on his everlasting gloves, and advances as far as the passage when he hears...
Here he is, and there's somebody with him. Oh, now it'll be stop till this gentleman's gone. But I won't, and that's that.
Newman retreats, slips into a tall, empty closet, and shuts himself up, intending to slip out once Ralph and his visitor are safely inside Ralph's office. Instead of going through to Ralph's office, however, the two men make themselves comfortable where they are, and so Noggs is trapped in his closet.
Business or pleasure? Business, I hope.
The object of this interrogation is a little old man of about 75 years of age, much bent and slightly twisted. His scant trousers reveal shrunken spindle shanks in their full ugliness. His nose and chin are sharp and prominent. His jaw has fallen inwards from loss of teeth. His face is shriveled and yellow, with a few tufts of withered beard which seem to denote the badness of the soil from which they spring. His name is Arthur Gride.
It is business and pleasure, Mr. Nickleby. Business and pleasure.
Then let us talk of the business first.
Oh, no, indeed. First I shall tell you of the pleasure. What would you say to me if I was to tell you that I was going to be married?
I should say that you told a lie. And if it wasn't the first time, it wouldn't be the last.
No, no, it's true. I am to be married.
To some old hag?
No, no, wrong again. To a young and beautiful girl, not 19 years old, dark eyes, long lashes, ripe and ruddy lips that to look at is to kiss, beautiful clustering hair that one's fingers itch to play with, and little feet that hardly seem to tread upon the ground. I am marrying this, this hair.
And she's marrying you?
Yes, if all goes according to plan.
The girl's name?
Is there nobody in hearing?
Why, who the devil should there be?
Well, I should be very uncomfortable if Mr. Noggs...
Oh, curse Noggs. And go on with what you have to say.
Curse Noggs, my old...
Inside his closet, Noggs shakes his head and sighs. More at the prospect of dinner growing fainter than at the insults, to which he is well used.
So, what is her name?
Madeline Bray, daughter of Mr. Bray, you remember?
No.
Now, you lie to me. Mr. Bray owes you money, and I know you remember everyone who owes you money.
I will thank you not to poke your nose in my affairs.
Ah, but if I'm to marry the daughter, they shall become my affairs, don't you see?
Go on.
Well, Bray is sick. Has no friends except his daughter, of course. And she is a slave to his every wish.
Why, then, she's a fool.
Ah, but such a pretty fool. Such a wholesome, dainty lassie.
Gride, you've made your point.
Yes, sorry.
Speak to me on business now, I pray.
Yeah, business, business. You and I are Mr. Bray's detaining creditors. Me for £1,700. You for £975.
You forget the 4 and 3.
Oh, indeed, I do. Yeah, 4 and 3. Now, if I offer myself to Bray as his son-in-law with the condition that the moment I'm married, he shall be released from all his debts and given an allowance to live just other side of the water like a gentleman, do you think he could resist me?
Perhaps not. But are you not being a little too generous?
No, he cannot live long. The doctor has told me as much. So, if he could not resist me, do you think his daughter could resist him?
Oh, stop all this nonsense and tell me what business you want with me.
Well, I want to ask what you would take from me for his debt with you. 5 shillings in the pound? Huh? 6 and 8? Hmm? 10 shillings? I would go as far as 10 for such a friend as you. But you won't be so hard upon me as that, I know, will you?
There's something more to be told.
Well, I need a backer in this matter. One who can talk, urge, press a point, which you can do as no man can.
There's something more.
Well, yes, might have knowledge of some little property, some very little property, to which this pretty chick was entitled, which nobody does or can know of at this time, but which, as her husband, I could claim for myself.
I see. So you get the dainty chick and the house.
Yeah, but you shall have your money back, which you would never get otherwise. So will you help me? Say 10 shillings in the pound, and we'll close the bargain.
Firstly, if you married this girl without me, you must pay the debt in full because you couldn't set her father free otherwise. It's plain, then, that I must have the whole amount.
The whole amount? You shall bankrupt me.
Secondly, for my trouble in this matter, I shall require £500. Very little, considering you have the ripe lips and the clustering hair and whatnot all to yourself.
£500 and the whole amount?
Thirdly, you shall pay these sums before noon on the day of the marriage.
Oh, Mr. Nickleby, please, I'm old, and I'm not nearly so very rich as people say. Not the whole amount, or if indeed the whole amount, not the £500 also.
But Ralph is as deaf as an adder to any suggestions of compromise.
Have it your way, you fiendish, devilish old dog.
I always do.
Come, let us away then. And begin
negotiations
with Mr. Gray.
Finally.
That's
dust. Newman Noggs can emerge from his hiding place.
Well, I don't know who she may be, but I pity that girl with all my heart and soul. I fear for what may become of her. And I fear for my master also. He sinks to new depths each day. No good can come of this. No good at all.
Meanwhile, spurred on by lust...
Those luscious lips, those pale and trembling...
And by avarice...
£975, four and threepence, plus £500, make...
Mr. Gride and Mr. Nickleby arrive at Mr. Bray's house in no time at all. And finding Madeline conveniently away from home, they quickly lay bare the object of their visit.
Mary, that old goat... I shall not allow my daughter to be married to some old miserly devil who persecutes me night and day and takes every penny I have.
But you owe me.
Be quiet, Clyde. Mr. Bray, think of it not so much as an offer of marriage, more as a business proposal.
Go on.
A business proposal from which you would profit handsomely.
Very handsomely.
I see. Well, speak quickly on the matter. My daughter may return at any moment.
Mr. Bray, Mr. Gride will release you from all debt if you accept his offer of marriage to your daughter. And what an offer it is! Mr. Arthur Gride, with the fortune of a prince!
My daughter, sir, as I have brought her up, would be a rich recompense for the largest fortune that a man could bestow in exchange for her hand.
Which is precisely why it is so fair and easy. You have money and Miss Madeline has beauty and worth. She has youth... You have money. She has not money. You have not youth.
What?
It's a match made in heaven.
Perhaps.
So, do you accept my proposal?
How can I accept or reject? It is for my daughter to accept or reject.
Not necessarily. You have the power to advise.
Yes, and you can hint a wish, can you not?
Hint a wish? Yes. I am her father, am I not? Perhaps because you see me in this state, you think I am without the power to do what I think best for my own child. Still the power to hint a wish. I should hope so.
You do not hear him out. What he meant to say was that your hinting a wish would surely be equivalent to commanding.
Yes, of course it would.
You have many years of life before you.
What? Many years. Many years.
An annuity that would support you in luxury is what you need.
But not here, in France.
All Paris rang with your expensive pleasures once, and you could blaze upon the scene again.
Like a blazing, ferocious, blazing thing.
In luxury.
Exactly, in the manner which you deserve.
Yes.
So, it is decided then...
No.
No.
Not yet. I must speak to my daughter.
Of course.
She might object.
She might object. She will object. She will remonstrate, shed tears, talk of his being too old, plead that her life would be rendered miserable. Well, what of that? If you die here, poor, the people you hate would make her happy. Can you bear the thought of that?
No.
I should imagine not, indeed. If she profits by anyone's death,
let it be by her husband's. Judge for her, sir. Judge for her. You must know best.
Hush, hush. I hear the door. We must speak no more of this.
Bray falls back in his chair, trembling. Gride plucks and fumbles at his hat and dares not raise his eyes from the ground. And even Mr. Ralph Nickleby crouches like a beaten hound, cowed by the presence of one young, innocent girl.
Father?
There is a gleam of conscience in the shame and terror of the reactions of these men, which exposes their cruel plan in all its meanness and heartless deformity.
Father? Oh, Madeline.
Father, what's wrong? You're pale and trembling. What has happened?
I'm all right. It was nothing. A sudden spasm, that's all.
Oh, I should not have left you for so long. It's terrible to see you in such pain. What can I do?
Nothing. Nothing. You must be very tired, my dear. You do too much.
I wish I could do more. You know I would do anything if it would make you feel better.
Would you?
Of course.
Anything?
If you even need to ask, then I have failed as a daughter.
You are very good to me. I should miss you if you were gone.
Oh, don't say such things. I won't leave you again.
But
hush now, Father. All right, it's burning. Let me cool it with kisses.
The beautiful young creature throws her arms about her father's neck and gently kisses him. As she does so, Ralph looks coldly on, whilst Gride's eyes gloat over Madeline's outward beauties, but are blind to the spirit which reigns within.
She would do anything for her father.
Mr. Gride! Mm-hmm. I cannot see you in the shadows. You have not been upsetting my father, I hope.
Oh, no, my dear, quite the contrary. He shall be quite happy. We shall all be quite happy.
Mr. Bray, Miss Bray, we shall leave you now. But you will communicate with us soon, I hope.
Yes, yes, in a week.
Good morning, Miss Bray. I kiss your hand.
Good day, sir.
Oh, and if the young lady would condescend to just the tips of her fingers.
No, Mr. Gride.
Madeline shrinks involuntarily from the goblin figure. She places the tips of her fingers in his hand and instantly withdraws them so that old Gride gives his own fingers a mumbling kiss.
Goodbye, my dear. Au revoir. It's been a pleasure, a very great pleasure to see your pretty...
Gride!
Oh, sorry. Goodbye. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Gride, eh? My mouth waters at the very thought. When will it happen, eh? And how?
Soon. Bray will convince himself that he thinks of her good and not his own. Why, he was already doing so just now. When he spoke to her kindly just then, I saw a tear of surprise in her eye.
Oh, she's pretty when she cries.
Well, why don't you shed a few more tears of surprise before the week is out?
She shall indeed the future, Mrs. Gride.
Congratulations, sir.